Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview with me, Alex Dunn, and Andy Holding on the line to look ahead to Wednesday afternoon's card at Navan. 8 races to look forward to, some competitive action as well. Hopefully we can have a winner or two for podcasters today. How are you, Mr. Holding?
Very well, yeah. I'll do well to get a couple of winners today. I think one might be good enough.
Well, it's a card that is certainly not lacking in runners.
No, and this meeting's always the same. I think I've done it now for about the last 5 or 6 years, and off the top of my head, I've always envisaged this day being a very difficult one, and yeah, it certainly looks as though it's following the trend as well this year.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll do our best.
Yeah, we will.
Action kicks off at 1:35 with a maiden over 6 furlongs. Red Ivy's been pretty well back this morning, Andy. 5-2 into 13-8 at the time of recording. Shanghai Beauty, the joint favourite with that one at 13-8 at the minute. It's then Sevens Bar. Market seems to be making this a bit of a two-horse race. Do you see it that way? And if that's the case, is there one that you fancy, or are you looking elsewhere with a bit of each-way thievery?
No, I'd probably go with Red Ivy. I thought she ran respectably in that very good nursery of the day at Nace on Sunday. Went the way of Captain My Captain, who was a well back favourite and a wide margin winner. The rest of them were in a heap in behind, but I thought Paul Deegan's filly ran, like I say, with a good deal of encouragement to suggest that, you know, she can certainly go well in a race like this. She's already contested group run into a group race this season. That was early on in June when she was behind Beach Bell, and she's got a rating of 83, which, you know, he should be good enough to, you know, win a race of this nature. The main danger looks to be Shanghai Beauty, who, similar to the favourite, has also experienced Patton Company, and that came on her last start. That was back in July when she was in eye-catching fourth behind Tommy Stacks Accepted. She was doing some good work at the end on that particular occasion, certainly suggesting that the step-up in trip which she faces today over the stiff track should very much play into her hands. The only slight concern is that obviously Ken Condon's charge hasn't been out for quite a while. So with the fitness advantage that Red Ivy's got, that makes me go towards Paul Deegan's filly just on this occasion. I think the market's got it about right. It looks a match between the two. Hopefully Red Ivy might come out on top.
Okay. Next up is the 205. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs. A real mix of forces in here, and you've got your consistent types, the likes of Bubbly Bellini and Captain Cullen. You've got a few that are really badly out of form, and then you've got one quite an exposed type in Sweetest Taboo that is a bit of an unknown quantity in this one, Andy, and gets quite a handy weight allowance.
Yeah, she does. She's just a difficult one to assess on the account of on the ground, you could argue. She did run quite well behind Big Bad Lily at this track. At the last meeting here, back in early October, when she was doing all her best work in the latter stages of that race. But Big Bad Lily was as well, and Big Bad Lily does love it here. That's not the first time that she's managed to win, and I think Big Bad Lily is the sort of like the horse you'd rate the race around. The problem with Big Bad Lily, she's drawn in stall one, and for a fast finisher that likes a clear run, not necessarily sure whether that'll be ideal going down the far side route, because I predict that they come down the middle towards the sand side, particularly when the ground's soft. That often is the case here at Navan. And that might favour Bubbly Bellini, who's got a much better stall position in trap 12. And Adam McGuinness's 7-year-old comes in here in fantastic form, having finished second at Tipperary 2 starts ago behind Shawnee. And that teed this horse up nicely with a quite a decent performance of the day, quite a smooth win actually for him. down in Cork when he won by 2.5 lengths. Now that's very strong in the finish on that occasion. He does need a stiff 5 furlongs. I think, like I say, 6 furlongs is ideally his best distance, Bubbly Bellini. But they're likely to go quick here, and that last furlong when everything's gasping around them should provide Bubbly Bellini with a perfect platform to produce his usual fast finish. So I'm going to stick with the inform horse. It's drawn better. Bubbly Bellini hopefully can follow up that Cork win.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 240 to Filly's handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. Nice enough race this, Andy. The time of recording, Breakman Mind has been well backed at the head of affairs, 9-2 into 3-1. Am I right in thinking this is one that we fancied quite strongly on the podcast in previous weeks?
That's the one, yeah. The one that I really went to town with, Fairy House, back end of September. And she didn't let me down. She beat a useful field. Quite comfortably in the end. The one thing about this horse, she stays really strongly, as she proved the time before, in that really good maiden, which has worked out a treat at Listowel. That was the race I was really getting quite keen about. Asprey Bros, course, fourth in the Irish. Cesarewitch, Bright Melmoine, she's won subsequently. Greater Force, the third, has won down in Roscommon. So the speed figure and the overall form of that race has worked out an absolute treat. And Bright Melmoine goes into handicap company off a reasonable mark here of 84. She's got some fantastic times behind her. She should be fine on the ground. The ground's quite soft that day down in Listowel. It's just whether the step back in triple playing to her strengths. As I say, she's a very strong stayer. If she finds the 10 furlong trip just on the short side, then maybe the likes of Nancy Rose, Dragon Faye, or even Queen of Alba at a big price, could take advantage. All these horses have got really good soft ground form throughout the summer over in Ireland, particularly Nancy Rose. She basically avoids fast ground as she possibly can, but on a soft terrain she's very useful. And as I mentioned, the other two, Dragon Faye, now she takes a serious drop down in company. She's been running in group races on her last two starts, and I think this is more of a level. And I certainly wouldn't rule out Queen of Alba as well at a price. She's 20-1 this morning, which looks a colossal price for a horse who loves a soft surface. So Break My Mind is very much the one to beat here. But like I say, don't rule out those other ones I mentioned. And, you know, if you're sniffing around at prices, I think Dragon Faye and Queen of Alba could reward those that are thinking outside the box.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 315. It's a maiden over a mile. Not the strongest maiden you'll ever see here, Andy, but Steeper Mac is pretty solid at the head of affairs at the time of recording for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning. 11-10 market leader from Cape Wolf at 13-2, and the well-backed Harold Petto, who's 7-1 from 10s this morning.
Yeah, I'm going to make Harold Petto my best bet on the card here. I'm not saying he's nap material by any stretch of the imagination, because obviously he's got to beat Stepan Mock from the Jim Bolger camp. Filly by Vocalizers had 2 good runs in listed company, now takes a huge drop down in class. Very similar to Flight Risk, who won at Cork on Saturday. A horse that should, in theory, make hay, you know, now in much less deeper waters. That Stepan Mock was fourth behind Together Forever. Of course, he came over to Newmarket the day and landed a group prize. You know, the likes of running against the likes of Jack Naylor and Legatissimo on debut. You know, that was a real baptism of fire if ever there was one. So really, in all intents and purposes, he should win here. But I've got a massive amount of time for this Harold Petto. Comes out of a very good maiden of the week. It was here at this track, and this is the one of several in that race that caught the eye. It was the race that Giovanni Canaletto was sent off a wild 8-11 favourite. And although he ran quite well, he wasn't quite good enough on the day to beat Mohaned from the Prendergast camp, who, to be fair, won fair and square on the day. But I do like the way this Ken Condon horse, Harold Petto, went through that race, and in particular where the way he finished off his race, came home very strongly up the hill. We obviously know he goes well at the track. The ground shouldn't be an issue. He's had the run under his belt already. And if he runs to that same level, I'd find it difficult to suggest Harold Petto will be finishing out the frame here. So that's what makes him such a good bet. He's 7-1 this morning with William Hill, and I think we should get stuck into that.
Okay, next up is the 350. It's a handicap over a mile. Really, really, really open race this, Andy. 7-1 joint favourites at the time of recording in Rose Angel and Zelos Dream, then 8s for Hopsan and 0 Euro. Money for Vasoni, 17-2 from 10s. That's the only one that has been backed, Andy, but like I said, this race is almost ludicrously open, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Multiple choice race, really, with the horses coming in reasonably good order. I'll go with Rose Angel here, one of the 7-1 market leaders, off the back of a decent enough run over this course last time out. That was over a mile and a quarter, a distance that she's never won over before, albeit she's attempted it on several occasions in the past. But this arguably is her best trip. Two victories both come over a mile at Dundalk last winter. And she looks as though she's running herself into a little bit of form on the evidence of her last two or three runs, particularly, like I said, the last time out behind Bizarre and Shukov. Now, that form has worked out really well. Bizarre ran another excellent race when he finished third in a competitive handicap back at the same track. And Shukov absolutely destroyed his field next time out down in the Curragh when he won by about six lengths. Unfortunately, he got beat the other night at Dundalk, but that was a funny, strange night at Dundalk. Hardly any of the sort of fancied horses ran up to form because it was a very windy, breezy, almost like hurricane-force gale-like wind that night, and it caused just havoc with the way the races developed. So I'd treat that Dundalk form with a pinch of caution. But Rose Angel obviously proved that she handles the track, and you know the ground shouldn't be an issue either. So at 7-1, she probably just about gets the vote there, but that is a very, very trappy race, as you quite rightly pointed out.
Okay. Next up is the 4:25, another handicap over a mile, another really open race, but this one priced up slightly differently. Crafted Mystery, the 7-2 market leader from Dash at 9-2, eights or bigger the rest. And it is that those two that I've mentioned there, Crafted Mystery and Dash, that are probably the most interesting here. Dash, she's very much unexposed on handicap debut, and Crafted Mastery brings the best form to the table.
Yeah, they are probably the most two interesting horses in the race. You're right, but they've both got slight question marks attached to them as well, particularly Crafted Mastery on account of the ground. Up to now, all her best form has been on a fastest surface. She was really impressive in the first time blinkers when she won in Garran. I wasn't absolutely convinced by that race, and I was dead against her in a handicap at Roscommon on the 29th of September, but she almost threw a massive custard pie in my face by nearly winning that race. She only just got beat by Henson. She was finishing very strongly that day. Back in third was Straits of Zanzibar, who won at Dundalk the other night. So her form's really good. She's going the right way. She's probably a little bit better than I originally thought. But like I say, the ground's an issue. And the fact that Dash hasn't had a run since the middle of May also sets the alarm bells ringing there. She's been off the best part of 5 months. She shouldn't have no problems with the ground. And potentially off a mark of 74, she could be quite dangerous. But I quite like Kamikaze, Mickey Halford's three-year-old here, a horse I mentioned quite favourably on the podcast last time out, finishing third behind Mansouri. But the time of the race is very, very good. I was on doing a podcast the other night at Dundalk, and I suggested that we back a Ruchachar out of that race, and he finished fifth or sixth in that Mansouri maiden. And although he failed to finish in the frame, he only just narrowly a podium finish. I think he finished fourth in the end, just short-headed in the latter stride. So the first horse that's come out of that race is Frank the Form. And the way that Kamikaze shapes, he certainly looks as though an extra furlong wouldn't do him any harm. He ran over six furlongs at the Curragh three starts ago, doing his best work at the end. And he didn't really have the pace to go with him at Dundalk that day when they won a good gallop. He was sort of 10th turning into home straight, so to finish third was a good return. He's 9-1 with William Hill this morning. And I think he could go well. Kamikaze, each way, in the 4:25.
OK, next up is the 5 o'clock. It's the penultimate race on the Navan card. It's a handicap over a mile and five furlongs, and face value has been really well supported at the head of affairs. 7-2 now from 6-1. Stranfield Lady, on the other hand, drifting out to fives from 100-30. We've then got Scooping in at sixes, Modem and Hazaraban at sevens. A couple of others that have just been nibbled at bigger prices. The Fox Tully and Shadow Catcher now 12s from 14s. We go without two here. Numbers 15 and 17 do not go. That's Lightstone Cass and Little Stampy. But a lot of money for the McGuinness horse face value here, Andy.
Yeah, I can see why. He was runner-up in this race last year when he made a bold attempt to make all the running in the hands of Colin Keane. He looked as though he got the race in safekeeping for the majority of that race. He went 20 lengths clear, built up a huge advantage, and then was slowly and gradually eroded by Quick Jack. As of course we know, Quick Jack has gone on to be a multiple winner on the flat and indeed over hurdles. He's a much higher rated horse now. So face value, was facing the impossible task that day, to be perfectly honest. Off the back of a long break, he came back at the Listowel Festival the other day, and in a strongly run race, a brutally run race, he managed to overcome that absence by winning, in the end, with a little bit more in hand than the official margin suggests, beating Cabjoy. There's a big gap back to the third and fourth. So he obviously comes in here in great heart. Adam McGuinness is also in good form, as we saw with Bubbly Bellini winning at the weekend. And there's every chance that this horse will go one place better than last year for that unlucky defeat. Others to mention, Hazara Band's got a good record at this track. Looks like Seamus Fahey's saved this horse for this particular race. He's got course and distance form on soft ground. And the other one also to throw into the mix is the Fox Tully, who also comes here off the back of an eye-catching run here last time out behind Rocky Blue, of course, who won again the other day at a whopping 20-1. I think Gerard Keane's Gelding definitely wants a little bit further than a mile and a quarter nowadays, and given that he's back up in trip, I think he could justify some each-way support. But face value has to be the number one choice, with the Fox Tully also worthy of a little small wager.
OK, the final race on the card is the 5:30. It's a maiden over the same trip, a mile and five furlongs. Kadima 7-2 from 9-2 for John Ox and Declan McDonough. Decent enough form, but this isn't easy, Andy, because you've got Enzani for the World Team, same connections, and then Thunderzone and right down the middle, who've shown some pretty solid form to date. You've also got Dynamo in there, unraced for Aidan O'Brien. It's not the worst maiden, this.
No, they're coming all shapes and sizes here, don't they, Alex? Yeah. It is a difficult one to get your head around. Quite a few of these will be running over jumps throughout the next few months or so. Makes life even more difficult up against the flatbred horses. Kadiyama certainly ran well enough on debut behind Fastnet Mist. She's up four furlongs. Certainly bred to get the trip as well, so she's an interesting runner. But I'm going to play two against the field here. I do like the jump horses in this race. Right down the middle in particular gets the number one vote. I thought that was a brilliant run by Michael Morvani's six-year-old the other day when he chased home Silver Concord. He made Dermot Wells' crack hurdler pull out all the stops the other day. Actually, Silver Concord, uncharacteristically, flashed his tail in the latter stages there, which has got to set the alarm bells ringing for his future prospects. But right down the middle, went all the way with him at the line. He really made him go through the pain barrier, and there was big gaps back to the rest. He's sure to go well, dropping back in trip. And the other one to mention is Lucky Pat, Die Love's six-year-old. He's been in fantastic form throughout the summer period. He's won over jumps. He ran well at the Galway Festival. And he comes here off the back of a very good run in that hot maiden at Listowel, which I keep banging on about. It's the race that Asprey Boss won, of course. Break My Mind was second and A Greater Force was third. We get a chance to see that form advertised earlier on with Break My Mind, of course, in the handicap. But with the ground in its favour and stamina assured, I'm sure Lucky Pat will go well. I think these two are underestimated in the market here. You can get 5-1 for right down the middle, and around about 10-1 for Lucky Pat if you shop around. And I think you've got a good chance of getting a massive run for your money with those two.
OK, so two against the field then in the final race from Navan. Thank you very much, Andy. Best of luck with all those picks at Navan today. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Yeah, cheers, Alex. Looking forward to it. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.